To you and your wonderful, great family, I say Merry Christmas, my friend.
Merry Christmas to you, my friend. How are things?
Things are okay. Things are doing all right, you know? They point me toward whatever I talk. It's a good life.
It is. It is not bad at all. That works.
Got the Steelers and the Bengals tonight. All right? So as you have looked at this Steeler team offensively, because you and I both know the secondary is fine for obvious reasons.
okay. Yeah.
but when you look at the offensively, why two things? Why can't they run the ball, which they were pretty good at last year, and why can't Ben get the ball downfield?
It's matter of choice, actually. I always go back this weekend, a lot of conversation about this. Go back to that Tennessee Titans game. The first two drives that the Steelers had, they were surgical, they were mixed, they were balanced. There was some medium passes thrown, there were some really effective runs in the mix. They took nine and a half minutes off the clock on touchdown drives. But at the end of the day, Ben's numbers were kind of pedestrian.
Yeah.
You know, 210 yards, two touchdowns, no picks. And Ben got really, I think, restless and insecure about not really standing out. Even though he was playing really well, and the team was on its way to an 11-0 start, you know, the best start in franchise history, I kept saying, be careful that Ben isn't okay with this. So all of a sudden, the run-pass options became no option. It was a pass. And then it was just this ridiculously short passing game that, you know, finally DBs and others could just absolutely pathetically predict, jump it, maybe get a pick six like they did again, you know, against the Bills. And I put it all on Ben. And he has a mouthpiece and an O coordinator, Randy Feitner. I mean, he's never going to say boo if Ben doesn't want to do it. You know, he constantly refers to, I have a $100 million quarterback buy, but I suggest otherwise. So Ben hijacked his own offense. Now the poor offensive line, guys that have a lot of pride, and you know they don't want to be called soft. They don't want to be called out for not being physical enough. But you start every play in a two-point stance. Your first step is always one step back. And now these running backs have the reputation that they can't run.
Right.
Because they'll hand it off, you know, a handful of times in the game. They'll go from minus two, and I'll say, yeah, we can't run the ball. Let's not do that anymore. It's just a lack of commitment, a lack of trying, and it's a matter of having a franchise quarterback dictating exactly what he wants to do, albeit, you know, let's drop some plays in the dirt, whatever you want to call it. Ben wants everyone to know it's his show, it's his party, and it's not working now. 3 weeks, it hasn't worked.
And what they also need is, for example, a guy like Johnson – who has been very good for them, but he's struggling right now. He's fighting the football a little bit, and that's the last thing in a short passing game you need, a guy at that speed fighting the ball.
Oh, it's awful, and they all are. And that becomes contagious, like hitting in baseball or not hitting in baseball. All of a sudden, you know, you squeeze the bat too hard. But I never make excuses for guys dropping the ball. That's what they're paid to do. Sometimes I try to explain it. And
yeah.
When you're catching the ball, Ben's getting rid of it in 2.5 seconds. So that means you've maybe run 3 yards in that span of time. So once you catch the ball, there's going to be someone on you immediately. So your biggest concern is making that first guy miss. And what happens more often than not, you're trying to make that guy miss before you secured the ball. And therein lies the drops.
Yeah. And therein lies the drops. And it puts more pressure on the defense. For the most part, the defense has held up pretty well, but it does put a lot more pressure on them, Paul.
Oh, it's insane. I mean, we've seen it how many times over the years. You know, there were a couple of units, and, you know, they're not going to go named, or I won't even identify the year, but there was a certain team that took a safety intentionally just so – just so it guaranteed the Penn State offense would once again have the ball as opposed to the defense being on the field, which was far more opportunistic.
I believe
we won't name names or it just gotta happen.
I believe I know the person that announced that game.
Know of what I speak. Yeah. It was awful. It was just and there was a period of time when, you know, the offense not only wasn't producing, I mean, three and out was good. They were going two and pick, one and fumble. You know, they weren't even, like, you know, getting down the field at all. Like, you know, like Joe used to say, any drive that ends in a kick is a pretty good drive.
Right.
And really, and as much as I've been hung up on the Steelers' inability to get a yard on the ground when they need it, their penchant for going empty on third and short, fourth and short, that just, you know, they paid Derek Watt $4 million to be a fullback, and he's yet to line up in that position.
Yeah.
So that bothers me. But the real truth of the matter is, Steve, honestly, if the Steelers didn't lead the NFL in drops, they would probably be a one-loss team right now.
Right.
I think they would have definitely beaten that football team from Washington.
Yeah.
Now, the way Buffalo and Josh Allen played in the second half, maybe they're not as good as Buffalo. I'm not sure the Steelers are.
Right.
You know, with Devin Bush and Bud Dupree in there, I'd certainly like my chances with the Steelers going head-to-head with the Bills, but they're not that team anymore. So the offense was supposed to pick up the slack. They supposedly have a real good receiving core. They have a great pass-catching tight end. Oh, but what does he do? He drops the ball. The next guy he blocks this year will be the first.
Yeah.
So Eric Ebron, you're starting to wonder, he's a pretty young guy. Why has he been on three teams in, you know, 7 years? Well, he doesn't play well, and then he runs his mouth. That doesn't go well. I mean, that's exactly why you don't want him around.
Right. Exactly. That's a big reason why you don't want him around. I never thought I would say this about 6 weeks ago, but a win over the Bengals is something they really need right now just to get themselves some semblance of feeling back.
Yeah, this, as far as timing goes, and I will give the Steelers a bit of a pass for the ridiculousness of the scheduling of the Ravens game. They end up playing at a 3:40 sure. Wednesday afternoon game in an empty stadium.
Right.
David DeCastro at one point looked up and just said, what are we doing here? Like, right. what is this? And then they played at 5 o'clock on a Monday. So while they've done the three games in 12 days, really the last time, I mean, when you play a Sunday game in the NFL, you're more than likely going to have three games in 12 days. That's just kind of the way it breaks down. But never like this. I mean, never with the strange circumstances that they had. So they were out of sorts. And I think they allowed a lot of the naysayers, the, you know, the Colin Cowherds of the world, you know, taking shots at an undefeated team. I don't think they handled it very well. I think they were like kind of, you know, they were kind of sad and mad. We won all our games. How come you don't like us? You know, they didn't handle it nearly as well as I would have liked, and they were trending in the wrong direction. And one thing I do know is Washington has a very good defense.
Yes,
they're not a very good football team, but I really like their defense. And they showed up and played, and they won the next week. So that really wasn't as bad as it appeared. Again, losing to Buffalo, there's no shame in that. Josh Allen right now, top three or four quarterback in the league with an upside that's frightening. Buffalo has a chance, like Kansas City does, to maybe dominate a division for a while. I mean, Miami might have a little something to say about that, but that's going to take them a couple years. Right now, both Buffalo and Kansas City are in a situation where they can be New England-like in their own division for a while.
Right. So tonight, is this a case of in the first quarter and a half, we're going to find out whether it's the last 2 weeks or whether they've got control of the situation?
If it were anyone other than the Bengals, I would say yes. But I honestly think they can go out and just destroy this team, and I'm not sure we'll know any different than we did prior to the game. They're that bad. Cincinnati's really that bad.
Well, you have to give them credit. You have to give them credit to be that bad.
Well, I mean, you take away Burrow and you take away Mixon.
Yeah.
It's, I mean, what little they had is gone. So, I don't know what you glean, but I know this. If the Steelers don't dominate and really take care of business very professionally tonight, if they're not riding those escalators, you know, midway through the fourth quarter, and that, you know, that famous Cincinnati Bengal, you know, fan isn't crying by halftime, they're in trouble. They're in trouble.
Never in trouble on this show when you join me. Merry Christmas, my friend, as always.
Say Merry Christmas to you and your big, huge, amazing family. Yeah. Tell everyone I said hello up there, and hopefully I can get up there sooner rather than later.
And when you do, you better call me when you do, because I got to see you, pal.
Will do.
Thanks.
Will do.
Thanks, man.